Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, February 3rd, 2014. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight, our main focus is 2014 Vote for Americans. What a concept to vote for Americans and vote for America in America. Wow. But we'll get into that. But before we do, some other stuff going on. Now, you know, I did not watch the Super Bowl, but of course I know the outcome of it. You can't turn on or listen to any news or anything else from yesterday evening till yesterday all day, really. And then throughout today, talk about how embarrassed the Broncos must be. I'm glad I wasn't in that locker room at halftime. I didn't watch it, but I definitely heard about the score. So I feel sorry for all those Bronco fans, but please remember, it's just a game. And listen to the segment I had last week talking about the Super Bowl syndrome. Now, I was hearing talk about, especially since it was cold out, wasn't as bad as it was today, but it was cold, something about $20 for a cup of hot chocolate and crazy prices like that. And I'm like, is that really worth it? I mean, I'm trying to understand. I am trying this Super Bowl syndrome, as I called it last week. And this is true with any of these pro sports or entertainment. You know, it's one thing if you go to a movie theater and you pay, you know, $8 or whatever it may be to get into the movie theater. You don't have to buy the snacks if you don't want to. You don't really have to eat for, you can go for a short period of time without consuming any snacks and garbage like that, junk food. And so if the movie sells enough and people watch it enough, you can kind of understand why the actors and actresses and the producers, all these people would get paid a lot of money for that. But when it comes to an event like a game, it's for a fixed period of time. It's a one-time event. It's not like you can go back the next day and watch it. It's not like you're going to have a different crowd of people watching it the next day with new money. It's this one-time event. And then these people are making multi-million dollar salaries to go out there on a football field or on a baseball court or whatever it is. While you pay these outrageous $1,000, $2,000, whatever the crazy prices for these tickets, not to mention if you're going to watch it live, what you had to do to get there. I mean, if you happen to live in the host town, then, you know, that's one thing. But how many people travel, the expense of the travel to watch a game and to make these people multimillionaires for a 2 or 3 hour, I mean, if you want to say a whole day event, but the game itself is, what, 3 to 4 hours when you come to the halftime, and I think most games typically run 3 hours, but depending on, you know, they can run longer, halftime, whatever. You know, that kind of stuff, and I mean, there's a lot of hoopla, but I just don't see the money in it. I guess some people have lots of money to waste. I don't get it, but I myself could not see spending that kind of money to go do something like that. And I mean, I don't know. I just can't justify the multi-million dollar salaries these people get for this stuff. And you know what? If you took them out of sports, they'd be lucky if they could earn, you know, the minimum wage or the basics, you know, if they had to go to work right after college. What would these people have been making? And again, it's not, I believe in the free market, so I would never say ban football or any of these sports. I would never suggest that. But I got to question the people who are supporting it. The people who are supporting it must be millionaires because they can support this crazy stuff. Now, I just can't do it. While our country is falling apart in so many ways, this is all people seem to care about. I don't know. I don't get it. I definitely believe in entertainment. I believe, you know, life is a pain, but you got to have a few laughs here and there and all that kind of fun stuff. So it's not that. It's just the magnitude of it all and the obsession. The syndrome, the Super Bowl syndrome mentality. of making it so much bigger than what I think it really is. I just don't see it. Same for same for the World Series, same for the NBA playoffs, you know, any of this stuff. And Lord only knows I don't want to see stinking soccer. Major League Soccer in Orlando is stupid, Buddy Dyer, stupid, Teresa Jacobs. And I don't live in the city limits of Orlando, so I cannot vote against Dyer. But I definitely can vote for somebody besides Jacobs, and I will be. And, you know, just in case you haven't heard, on Thursdays we're having a 2014 election show where we're bringing candidates on, talking to them. People who are engaged in the political process, campaigns, helping people, and also to learn about the issues that you need to find out when you're going to vote for somebody. Would you vote for somebody who promotes amnesty? I would not. Well, all the people out there, are they answering that question? What about border security? They all say they believe in it. Well, why do they have to pass another bill when we already have bills? I mean, that's the most basic of the federal government's job, secure the homeland. So but we do have a show on Thursday that focuses on the issues of the day that you need to be voting on and you need to be asking people. And I happen to think that's just more important than football. What can I say? And I definitely don't think the money. I don't. For them to charge $20 for a cup of hot chocolate, was it a gallon? I don't know. I just think it's crazy. And I guess you're lucky if you have that kind of money to waste, and I sure wish I could afford to waste it that way, but I probably would do it anyway. Even if I had it twice, I wouldn't. I would not. But anyway, the other thing, going on to just some of the other garbage going on for the day, I've heard, and this was on Glenn Beck, where I heard it, Glenn Beck and then also Blaze TV, two different things, two different articles, segments on it, that Karl Rove, that the GOP in general, the GOP fundraising is down below what the Tea Party groups are, the Freedom Works and Tea Party Patriots and the Senate Conservatives, you know, these various Tea Party organizations. The fundraising on their side is much higher than what the GOP side is, which is great to me. Defund the GOP. The GOP has sold us out. They've violated every oath or ethics that they ever claim to stand for, the principles they stand for, and so they need to be eliminated. They need to be eliminated in 2014. We need to know that we have to have a true third party or try the American Party, the American people. What a concept, Americans voting for Americans, so that in 2016 we can make a serious change. We need to make a serious change here. But the thing, the other thing I was hearing, in addition to the GOP's funding being way down, Karl Rove, people are so sick of the Crossroads, the Karl Rove crap and all this other stuff, and the GOP establishment, which is what Karl Rove is to the max, that apparently he's created some other super PAC, Kentuckians for Freedom or whatever, some other crazy name out there. And this is a PAC in Kentucky to try and get Mitch McConnell in there, but they try to take Karl Rove's name out of it somehow, some way, but he's still in it. I don't know the full details, but this is what was being reported on Glenn Beck and on The Blaze. And it's like, so I'm going to try to go dig that up because it shows a lot if Karl Rove has to go hide his face to try and raise money for Mitch McConnell. What does that say? And we really do have to try to push for Matt Bevins in Kentucky. He's the real deal. I can't guarantee what will happen when he gets in there, but we know what Mitch McConnell is. So why would you want to keep Mitch McConnell in there? We already know what he is. And the other, I talked about this on last Thursday's show, the second half. Jeff Sessions is the one who's got the plan for immigration. And if the GOP had a brain, which it doesn't, we already know that. They've proven time and time again they don't have a brain. Or, you know, they've got, what's his name there, Boehner. Boehner is their brain. Well, that tells you right there that if they had a brain, they would listen to what Senator Jeff Sessions is saying. Because Senator Jeff Sessions actually believes in the American people first. He believes we should take care of our own people first before we go and support the world. What a concept. absolutely amazing, if you ask me. Who would have thunk it, you know? So that's out there, too. And I've got an article here. How the GOP lost middle-class America. I may read that after a while. But we're going to talk today. Well, actually, one more thing. We'll go there. Local updates here in Central Florida. Florida and Central Florida. Still pursuing the thing to condemn eminent domain to destroy a church in a black community, the Paramore community, so that they can build a soccer arena specific to the soccer team. So this is tax dollars going out there and building a facility for the private sector that's going to be a loser anyway because, I mean, the NBA, the Orlando Magic can't fill the stadium here. The Predator, Florida Predators, the arena football team, gets more people than the sinking Magic, Orlando Magic does. And they can't keep that thing full. And that, they can't afford the funding for that facility. Plus, they've got a Citrus Bowl stadium, a football stadium, the Citrus Bowl. They're going to renovate, but they don't have anybody to play in it yet. But they're not going to use that for soccer because they have to build one specific. You know, and they're also going to try and destroy Tinker Field, which is a baseball field, which really has a historic value to it and because it's been here forever. They're going to trash Orlando as much as they can, take as much of our tax dollars and give it to Welfare for Billionaires, the ball clubs, and then they tell us they can't afford to build our roads. I mean, if you're in Florida and you're swallowing that stuff, you've got you live off Kool-Aid, okay? And you're really part of the problem. If you're dumb, and I don't want to be, I shouldn't say dumb enough, ignorant enough, whatever the condition, what would make you think that way? What would make you think it's better to take tax dollars and give it to a private entity called Major League Soccer than it would be to fix our roads for all of us? Where's the logic there? How is the public interest served more by giving money to a billionaire for their stadium, to build them a stadium, for them to make lots of money, while you don't even take care of basic infrastructure for your community, your city, your state? And this is what they do. It's disgusting. I haven't heard anything over the weekend as to what's going on with this legal case using eminent domain to tear down a black church so that they can give it to a billionaire Major League soccer team. It's outrageous. It's the most abusive. But we already know that Buddy Dyer, the mayor of Orlando, and Teresa Jacobs, the mayor of Orange County, we already know they don't care about people. They care about their cronies who fund their campaigns. They care about how they can manage to backdoor investments into different things so they can get rich, where they will violate the Sunshine Law at their convenience. All these things because these people have no ethics or integrity, and they don't care about the people. Again, that's kind of the topic of the show. Vote for Americans. They don't care about the American people. They don't care about Floridians. It's whatever they're going to do to keep the power for themselves and screw over the rest of us while they get rich. And I do my one-on-one every day and say, "Dear Lord, explain all this to me. God help me, I just don't get it. Tell me that these people will eventually pay a price for their evilness. Somehow convince me. Evil doesn't pay. Right now, it just seems crime pays and evilness pays in this town and the state. It's really disgusting. It seems like the worst thing you can do is be honest and decent in Central Florida, because you will get screwed over every which way. And that includes good old another rhino out there. Thursday, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but I just want to kind of put a bug in your ear right now that, as I've been told, and I'm waiting to see some information, and truthfully, the information may be in my mailbox right now, my email, and I haven't seen it yet. But by what I'm understanding, Governor Rick Scott is using BP money from the BP oil spill. He's using that money for a land grab and to build toll roads. Yeah. Isn't he just a wonderful guy? Stealing all our land, buying it for his cronies, and building toll roads and selling them to the foreign, etc. and also helping the Chinese build all their schools here, importing Chinese help in here. Yeah, this is what Rick Scott is. Isn't he just wonderful? I mean, and trust me, I wouldn't trust Charlie Crist anymore. We've got to go with Adrian Wiley. We have got to get Adrian Wiley in there and get rid of these two parties. Adrian Wiley is a libertarian. I myself am a no party affiliate, NPA. I go back to the words of George Washington. President George Washington explained all this to us, and he's still right. And if I could dissolve all the political parties today, I would do it. Because we should be able to vote as Americans, not have to vote for some political party. We should have full choice to vote for whoever we want to vote for. And you know what? If a private entity like the RNC or DNC, they want to go out there and have their own parties, that's fine. You guys, gals, go over there. Have your convention out in Hawaii or wherever you want to go have it. You elect who you want to be on your ballot to represent you. That's fine. Then put them on the ballot. Somebody else wants to be on the ballot, they can be. 20 people are on that primary ballot, so be it. But the political parties want full control because they truly don't believe in freedom, and they don't believe in a republic, the democracy within a republic type of thing where we elect these people to represent us. They think that they're elected to support them, which is really what's happening today. And you can look at that on both sides. It has nothing to do with what party they're in. But for now, right now, if I wouldn't, I myself, I'd have to go down the list. I mean, there are some Republicans that are decent. It's not that I condemn all Republicans. But you know what? If some of these Republicans, like Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Stephen King, there's a few of these Republicans, if they would have the courage to switch over to the Libertarian Party now, they could totally change what's happening. 2016 would be a totally different thing, and 2014 truly could destroy the Republican Party. And it needs to be destroyed because it doesn't stand for anything. The Republican Party has been taken over by the liberal progressives. There truly is no difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party in the overall scheme of things. You have a few people on both sides who are a little bit more the other way, whatever. But these people, they go out there and say, well, okay, they drew the district lines like this because here's what types of registered voters they have in this area. Okay, so we're going to play around. Here, you guys can have this district. We'll have this one over here. And they think they can manipulate us, and so far they've been able to. In the past, they've been able to, so they just keep doing this. So then it's a matter of, well, if you live over here, most of the people are registered as whatever party, so I'm going to run as that whatever party. It has nothing to do with core beliefs. It has nothing to do with what they truly, truly think. So the parties mean nothing. You got to go past that. I think it would send such a big signal if Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Stephen King, some of these, Steve Stockton, some of these much more true constitutionalists, because that's what I'm going to call them, constitutionalists, not conservatives, constitutionalists, Jeff Sessions, if these people would leave the Republican Party, they would send such a signal. The power, it would just be enormous what it would mean. It would be enormous. And I would really encourage people listening to this to go out there and send an email to every one of these constitutionalists because, again, they might be registered Republicans, but they're truly constitutionalists or the closest thing we have to them, but they focus much more on what the Constitution is and what our rights are and how corrupt this government has become. Send them an email. Call their offices, fax them, write letters, do whatever, and let them know that you want them to move to the Libertarian Party because the Republican Party is too corrupt and too liberal. It's too progressive. It's too anti-Constitution. And all you have to do is look and see what they're doing with the amnesty games now, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is NAFTA on steroids. It totally dissolves any sovereignty we have. And they're working with the communist Democrats to destroy this country. And I'm, like I said, I'm not going to be politically correct anymore. Communist is communist is communist. and those who are trying to destroy this country. And now I'm going to talk about one other thing, which kind of takes a little bit different tone here, the notary publics here in Florida. To be a Florida notary public is basically the state's giving you a license to commit fraud. No, the current process is so loose, no oversight. There's over 400,000 notaries in the state of Florida. There, a lot of, well, I won't say what percent, but there's a problem with how many felons, how many felons and how many notaries should you have in jail, you know? How many notaries should be felons? And is it okay for somebody to still be a Florida notary public when they're in jail? Is that okay? This is somebody who's witnessing signatures for legal documents that are going to be presented in a court or possibly presented in a court, and you want the guy or girl behind bars to be doing that. Totally nuts. But that's the way it is today. So Senator Darren Soto, he has introduced a bill. It's Senate Bill 172, and I am going to be sending an email out. I've got to get this email out. We need for everybody in Florida to call their state representative and their senators, governor's office as well, and go out there and push to have Senate Bill 172, the Notary Public Bill, passed, because this at least makes these notaries have to keep a record and keep some accountability of what they're doing. Because right now, they don't have to do anything. All they have to do is say, well, that must have been me. I think I signed it. I don't know. Maybe I did. I'm so confused. I don't know what I signed. I signed something. No, it wasn't a will. It was a lease, I think. I don't know. And nothing happens to these people. When they refuse to respond again, because their first response was so, whatever you want to call it, elementary, childish, whatever, incompetent, take your pick. You go and ask them to respond again, and they don't, well, then the governor, he finally orders an executive order suspending their commission. But then they say, well, instead of us suspending you, you can resign. Yeah, so when you resign, then you can come back on, and nobody will ever know that you were a crook or that you were a fraudster. No one will have to know that you participated in fraud. That's okay. This is the sick mentality of Florida, and this is why Florida is number one in identity theft and property theft and mortgage fraud, because they don't care. The things that government is actually supposed to do to protect the people, they don't want to do. That's not their job. Law enforcement, rule of law, we expect them to do that. No, their job is to take all the billions from the BP spill and go buy whatever land they want to and do all their land grabs and build toll roads to make more money off the citizenry. When it's our money, they seem to forget whose money it is. No, this is how sick it is. And we did have a show last Tuesday on the transportation, and we got into quite a bit of this as well, on what's going on with transportation and these toll roads here in Florida. So we got to get this, and I have mentioned that we need citizen oversight for the expressway authorities, any kind of toll road authority in the state, because they're all crooked as whatever, and we are getting ripped off, and our infrastructure is declining on account of it. The Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority, once again, is all snarled up in legal challenges and fraud and whatever else, violations of the Sunshine Law. There is no, it's a culture of corruption, always has been, and always will be until we get citizens in there. And the citizens have to be selected by a lottery. Those who would be interested in participating in such a thing would have to, one, have no relationship with the construction industry, have no relationship with the local government, and obviously have no financial interest in any of the development and things going on, anything to do with the roads. No conflict of interest. What a concept. No conflict of interest, and they would be serving on this board for, it would either be 2 or 4 years, and then they would be switched out to somebody else. There would never be a chance for, there's no such thing as a re-election, there's no such thing as a second round, whatever. That wouldn't be the case. You would have true citizen oversight who would be able to audit the books and things like that. That's if we want to have any kind of honesty or ethics or integrity into government here in Florida. and stop all this toll road stuff and everything else. So we'll continue to work on that one. But more than importantly is you guys got to get on the phone, Notary Bill, Senate Bill 172, say yes, we need legislation to protect us against notary fraud that currently the state of Florida promotes. Florida is all but issuing a license to commit fraud. That's really what it is. Okay, now getting on to the topic of the night. I don't really think 2014 we ought to, for once in our lives, once in the history of this country, at least the history of this country in the past 50, 75 years, let's focus on what Americans need. Instead of trying to destroy America, let's try to save America. What a concept. Instead of feeding the world while America starves, why don't we take care of America first? Why don't we take care of Americans first? What a concept. And you go back to the amnesty issue. This is what Jeff Sessions is saying. Senator Jeff Sessions is out there saying, what amnesty does, it destroys the middle class of this country. When are we going to take care of the American people first instead of the illegals? It's really not rocket science. What is so confusing about this, people? What is so confusing? So, on that note, and I mean, I ask, what is an American? And you'll see, I got these couple of questions. What is an American? Americans versus Latinos. Americans versus Muslims, the Muslim Brotherhood. Americans versus Chinese nationals. Well, what is an American? American means that you were born someplace else, unless you're called a Native American that truly was here on this continent before anybody else knew anything about it. You came from someplace else. My father's family was from Portugal. But I've never considered myself to be a Portuguese. I'm an American. I have never gone around saying I'm a Portuguese American. I wouldn't. I would not say that because I'm an American. So where you come from to that degree isn't what makes you an American. What makes you an American is the fact that you probably did. You came from someplace else. Like I said, unless you're a Native American, your heritage, ancestry, came from someplace else. You could be Italian. You could be Russian. You could be German. Australian, Asian, Vietnamese, Japanese, Mexican, Kenyan, whatever. You could have started someplace else. Your family heritage and ancestry could have been from someplace else. Whatever. But what truly makes you an American is you embrace the Constitution of the United States. You embrace a culture that believes in freedom of religion and believes in the rule of law. And there are times when freedom of religion and the rule of law conflict, and we're going to talk about that when we get into the Muslim discussion. But the most basics that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. If you can't grasp that belief, if you do not truly believe in the individual, you as an individual have certain rights, and that your loyalty is to this Constitution and to the freedom of this country, then you're not an American. As I'm going to say, you can be an atheist and be an American. You can be a Catholic and be an American. You can be a Jewish person. You can be a Jehovah's Witness, whatever, and be an American. The only time that I see a problem when it comes to religion is when we get into the Muslim, Islamist, and when we get into the Muslim Brotherhood. I see that part. You can't, in a legal sense, in a constitutional legal sense, you can be a Muslim and an American at the same time. However, you can't truly believe in the Constitution. So, in that legal sense of freedom of religion, there's this, but a Muslim can never truly believe in the Constitution if they believe in their faith, because their faith believes all Christians should be dead, and all Jewish people should be dead. Anybody who's not Islam, who's not a Muslim, the Quran, Allah, whatever, says you take down the infidels, you convert them, or they're dead. And this is what's happened over in the Middle East. Look what's happened to Christianity over in that part of the world. So, can you be a Muslim and an American at the same time? I say no. I don't see how you can, because you don't believe in freedom. You don't believe in the rights of the individual. You believe it's okay to kill women, rape them, and then kill them for it. And that's not what Americans believe at all. That's not what Christianity believes at all. It's not what the rule of law is. The honor killings, no. I mean, we have a big issue about the death penalty for those who have killed others. But here, the mentality of Islam and Muslim faith, whatever, gang rape a woman's okay. And if a woman has been raped, then you can kill her. Sick. And this is what our country's being taken over with right now. And people that don't believe that, they're not paying attention. You just have to look and see what's happening to the military right now. Christianity, they're taking away Christianity from the military. They're not allowed to have a Bible. They're not allowed to preach or pray to God or Jesus. But those Muslims, yes, they can have that facial hair, and now they can have their headgear. This guy that's in the White House now, he's about as much of a treasonous traitor that you could ever have in that White House. The White House occupier, he's not an American. Never has been. I mean, I don't care what his designation and any kind. Right now, we know he wasn't a natural born. I mean, he can't prove anything that he was a natural born citizen, which is what's required for the presidency. But because he was black, too many people were scared to say that. Well, we can't say that about a black man. All black men are Americans, right? The cowardice of the American people. Politically correct to the point of shooting yourself on the foot, and then next you're going to shoot yourself on the head. You're destroying this country because you want to be politically correct. And you don't want to take care of your own people first. You know, crazy man, I think we should save America first. Save America and save Americans. Which means securing our borders and stopping immigration for this time. We've already got too many people unemployed. You already claim that the education stinks, so you want to bring more people in to have them uneducated? We need to take care of the people who are here. We need to get the people here properly educated. We don't need to be importing cheap labor to take the jobs from Americans so that Americans are forced onto food stamps and welfare. It's downright stupid. Not to mention, it's anti-American. Not to mention, you have to be a treasonous traitor to do it. And we have some treasonous traitors in this government. We have more of them than we do anything else. And so that's on the Muslim side. And as I said, to be an American means you came from someplace else. Whatever your ancestry, your heritage is, that isn't what makes or breaks you from being being an American. It's embracing the American culture. It's embracing the Constitution. It's embracing a Declaration of Independence of our sovereignty. It's embracing the individual. That you are an individual, you are responsible and accountable for your own actions, and you are not public property. And you have the right to own private property. Spend some time reading that Constitution, and definitely go read President George Washington's farewell address. And then go read what Thomas Jefferson said about the Muslims. He's the one who said it. I mean, he wrote it. He went to the Muslim people and said, why are you coming after America? What have we done to you? He said, well, you're Christians. Allah tells us to kill the Christians. All Christians be dead. Anybody who's not of our faith dies. We must take you down. So here we are, openly inviting the Muslims to come in here and destroy this country. And that's what the history is. And trust me, I trust Thomas Jefferson much more than I trust that guy in that White House today. I mean, you think about the different things that Thomas Jefferson talked about. I believe it was Jefferson who first made the joke or the comment about the only thing you could trust in the newspaper were the advertisements. Seems that's still true today. But then he also said, we need term limits. He fought for term limits. Do you think he was right? I know he was right. So many of our problems today are because we don't have term limits. We don't have people who work for Americans. They work for their private entities. Whoever funds their campaign, that's who they work for. They don't work for us. They don't represent us. And that all goes away when you have term limits. And then the other thing that Jefferson said was never have a central bank. The central bank will also cause the collapse. The Federal Reserve is a private central bank. So I think Jefferson knew what he was talking about. I believe Jefferson much more than I believe that person in the White House now or those who have been in the White House the past few years. So being an American is truly embracing. And by the way, being an American means you speak English. You speak English as your native language in your primary public, whatever you want to call it. I don't care what you speak when you're at home. But you know what? You choose to not speak English in the private, in the public sector. It only shows your disrespect for this culture. It shows you don't believe in America. It believes you think everybody else should be like you. Not you. You came to America because you wanted to convert everybody to be like you. You didn't come to America to embrace America. And people say, well, you know, why the fuss over the language routine? But some people don't seem to understand that language unites us. I mean, just imagine that you're on the battlefield, you're on the front lines of the battlefield, and you can't speak to each other. You can't communicate. What does that do? How do you unite to save and protect your country, to fight for your country, if you can't communicate? And English is the language of this land, whether you like it or not. If I was to move to Mexico, I would expect to speak Spanish. If I was to move to Cuba, I'd expect to speak Spanish. If I moved to Russia, I'd expect to speak Russian. When you're here in America, do as Americans do, which is speak English. Our founding documents are all in English. We were founded in English, not in any other language. I admire people who can speak two or three or four different languages. I think it's amazing that you can do it. Good for you. But even if you do, it doesn't matter. If you don't speak the home language of the American people, you are not uniting with us. You're saying that you don't want to be an American. You're saying America can do as you say versus, you know, you come to America, but you want America to change to you. Tell me what other country I could go to and say, okay, Russia, you're going to speak English because I'm here now. English is the language, people. Get rid of all this other stuff. They wouldn't do it. They would not do it. Now, we know globally English is the most common language on this planet, which I think supports the reason why you should speak it too. But more importantly, as Americans, our language is English, and you should speak it. And it does matter. It does unite us or divide us. So if you're trying to destroy America, keep speaking the bilingual language, whatever that may be. Of course, we know primarily it's because we have more Latino in the United States than we do Canadians, it tends to be more Spanish than French. But I just remember growing up with the Canadians. Americans would say, we're not speaking French. They can speak English or get the heck out. The attitude was, we're not going to speak French. We wouldn't do it for Canada. But, oh, well, the Cubans, yeah. Cubans have always been so wonderful for us. Mexico has always done so much for us. We're gonna speak Spanish because of how much these other cultures mean to us. Because they've done so much more, but, of course, Canada. Forget Canada. Speak French for them. Heck with them. Sick mentality, if you ask me. But, which goes into this discussion about Americans versus Latinos. We are not united if we're divided. Duh. You cannot be united if you're divided. Duh. So those who promote, we have to go for the Latino vote. Those are anti-American people. The same is true for the black vote, the female vote, the Muslim vote. Of course, they're not saying that these days. I think most of them would be a little bit hesitant to say, oh, we've got to go after that Muslim vote. But all these other factions, why don't they go for the American vote? Explain to me why it's more important to go for the Latino vote than it is the American vote. You've got to be a treasonous traitor if you care more about South Americans than you do United States America Americans. If that's who you care about. And the Latinos who come to America, who truly embrace America, don't want to be called that either. They believe they appreciate their heritage, but they're Americans. And they want to be treated like Americans. The only ones that want to be treated like Latinos are anti-Americans. Why would you want to be treated like a Latino instead of an American? If you believe in America and you want to be an American. So, oh, let's go give amnesty to all the Latinos who don't want to be Americans. Who want us to change everything here and translate everything into Spanish. No. The ballot should be in English, period. You're supposed to be able to read English, speak and read English to be an American, period. And having dual signs all over the street, no. Be an American, speak English, period. Language unites us. Factions like Latinos or Muslims or whatever else is the Chinese nationals, whenever you divide us, including political parties, you are destroying this country. You cannot divide us and unite us at the same time. Is that really that hard to figure out? How can you be divided and united at the same time? To belittle or disrespect any culture. It's if you want to be an American, be an American. If you want to be a Latino, go back to South America or Cuba or wherever else you want to go to. If you want to be, to me, if you're going to Cuba, you should, you know, be a Cuban. But if you want to be a South American, go back to South America. Don't let the door hit you. And I'd be willing to bet if you're more interested in being a Latino than to be an American, I'd be willing to bet we could set up a fund and you could get enough money so that you get a one-way ticket to South America. I'd be willing to bet Americans would help do that. Americans would help you reach your dream, your vision. You want to be a Latino, we will help you be a Latino. We'll send you back to South America. We'll give you a one-way ticket. We'll figure a way to make that happen if that's what you want. But somehow you want to stay in America but be a Latino and divide us. Your goal is to divide us. And, of course, you have the Muslims. Now, you have to understand the Chinese nationals and the Muslims are going to have a lot more power over the Latinos. I think the Latinos need to be careful of who they choose as their ally or their enemies. Because right now, the Latinos act like the Americans stole the Southwest and Bolivar mentality. stole the Alamo, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? So we'll be having a war in the Southwest because La Raza wants the Alamo again, and they think that's their land, while the Muslims are taking over the rest of the country. Chinese nationals are taking down our national grid, interrupting all the electricity and the internet and everything else. And there goes America. There goes the United States of America down the toilet because too many Americans thought they had to be politically correct instead of being Americans. You know, if you're an atheist, I couldn't care less. If that's what you want to do, just don't think you've got the right to take away my beliefs. And that doesn't give you the right to own my property. Doesn't give you the right to take away the Christmas holiday. You know what? You don't believe in Christianity? Don't celebrate Christmas. I'm not going to stop you. You don't have to. And if you work in a place that has some type of Christmas exchange of gifts or whatever, so you don't want to be part of it. You got that right. If you believe in it so strongly, you shouldn't hesitate to say, I'm an atheist and I prefer not to participate. And the company should allow you to do that. If the company didn't allow you to do that, I would defend your right to not participate. Because you shouldn't have to be a Christian if you're not one. You shouldn't participate in Christian events if you don't want to. Now, of course, when they do all this, you still get to eat the free food, or are you scared to eat free Christmas food? If you don't want to exchange gifts and stuff like that, but, you know, if there's a Christmas party and they give away a gift, are you going to take it? So I've been to company Christmas parties where they had some kind of a ticket drawing kind of thing. You registered for whatever it was. Everybody put their name in at once. And then they gave away some kind of gifts for the season. But if you're an atheist or a Muslim or whatever and you don't believe in Christianity, don't take the gift either. Of course, you would do that, wouldn't you? The hypocrisy of some. But if you truly believe, then don't do it. And to that degree, I support your beliefs to not participate, but you don't have the right to take down the Christmas tree from everybody else. We are a nation founded under God, whether you one nation under God. And those who don't respect that aren't Americans. One nation under God. In God we trust. If you don't believe in God, that's fine. But that doesn't give you the right to disobey our laws or to destroy other faiths. And see, not so much the atheists, even though some of them, we've seen what the atheists have done to the various memorials and things for veterans, which is really disgusting. And something's wrong there. They should not be allowed to harass people. I don't believe that's allowed either. If they want to go protest someplace at a distance, then that's fine, but they should not be able to harass. You know, if I go want to protest something at an event, they put me in a free zone. They corner you off someplace where you can't be seen. But yet they can't do that when we have a veteran who's been put to rest, sacrificed their life for our country. And they can't do that, give that honor to that person. Pretty disgraceful. And so when we talk about what it is to be an American, you allow people to believe as they choose to believe, as long as you stay within the rule of law. And this is where the Muslim faith gets kind of confusing too. Because Muslims believe in killing people. They're perfectly okay with killing people. They're okay with raping women. That isn't the rule of law in this country. So are Americans going to say, hey, they're Muslims. They can rape women. That's okay. They're Muslims. Their faith says they're allowed to rape women. That's okay. Is that what you're going to say? Is that what you believe? Because to me, you're not an American if you believe that way. It's like, well, the woman in rape, gotta kill her now. She's used goods. And then they talk about the crazy war on women from the liberal progressive side to the conservative side, and I'll say constitutionalists really more so than conservatives. But the nerds say that where the war on women is. They want to talk about the war on women, they need to really go look at what the Muslim faith is. They need to go look at what our president's doing to the women that work in his administration, since apparently they make a lot less money. And some people were upset that Rand Paul mentioned it, but I think it's a valid point. I don't think he answered the full question when talking about Hillary. The thing about Hillary Clinton and the war on women, well, it's very obvious that Bill Clinton doesn't have respect for women. He never did. He will jump in the sack with whatever he wants whenever he can. I mean, that was the way he was, the way he is. Don't ask me what he's doing these days. But he did take advantage of a young woman in the Oval Office. And you got to think of how disgusting that is. But equally disgusting is the wife who kept looking the other way while her husband did this. She had no respect for herself. So Hillary's going to tell other women out there, hey, as long as the guy's got the right power and he's going to take you to the White House, don't worry about how many women he has sex with. That's okay. As long as you're getting where you want to go in your career, going along, just look the other way while he's in bed with the other women. That's what Hillary Clinton stands for? Tell me how that's not the war on women. But Hillary Clinton doesn't have respect for women either. And I don't think Rand Paul said that part. He talked about what Clinton did, Bill Clinton did. He really wasn't saying a whole lot about what she did or didn't do, at least not from the excerpts I saw in the article. He didn't go out there and say she never once opposed it. I mean, she would act like, she was upset over it, but she never did anything to truly stop it. And it wasn't like that was the first time. She was more concerned about power and how she thought she might be able to obtain power. And it was a partnership, not a marriage, if you know what I'm saying. It was a business arrangement, not a marriage. Not in what we typically try or believe as a marriage between a man and a woman. And as I've said many times before in the past, I found it interesting as I, when she came out with her book, shortly after all the impeachment and all the other mess and the sex in the Oval Office routine, the book she wrote about it, which was supposed to, you know, all the pain and suffering she had gone through, she had a big old smile on her face on the cover. Apparently she recovered quite quickly. She knew how to deal with it. That's because she kept looking the other way. Now, has she ever had an affair with a woman? Some say she has. I don't know. I don't even care. But as a wife, her message is to other women, let your man screw around with whoever he wants to. It's okay. Don't expect him to be loyal to you. You're replaceable. And he'll replace you with whatever sex toy he wants next, and that's okay. So when you think about who has respect for women, Hillary doesn't have respect for women, and neither Hillary Clinton nor Bill Clinton have any respect for women. How would you think that they do, based on their lifestyles? You know, definitely smart people. They're not dumb by any means. They have achieved what they wanted. And they've been able to brainwash and manipulate people the way they wanted. I can tell you I never voted for Clinton. And I, of course, never voted for her because I wasn't in New York. So I never voted for either one of them. And I wouldn't vote for them. So when we talk about the war on women, the Clintons need to look in the mirror. The liberal progressives need to look in the mirror and face the truth of who the real enemies of women are. Well, let's see what else here. The Chinese nationals, American versus Chinese nationals. China, I mean, it's communist China. Let's call it what it is, communist China. Now, do you really think a communist country really likes what a free country is doing? I mean, they're obviously taking advantage of the situation. They're helping their own country survive while they destroy America. Who can argue with them for what they're doing? And these Chinese nationals that are coming over our southern border, they're from different reports, including what was being said on Fox News on Saturday, as well as what Dennis Michael Lynch has said and various others have said, they have the technology to take down our grid. And just imagine, the national grid goes down. That means the power system, the power in the internet and communication goes away. And I would challenge people to think about what would happen if you truly lost all your power and communications for an extended period of time. I mean, most people, most Americans at this point think it's all something that's going to be temporary, as in 2 weeks, maybe a month. Now, those who suffered things like Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, the different hurricanes, where tornadoes, where a certain area of the country was devastated, had no electricity, had no communication, but there were other places in the country they could go to. It wasn't that the whole country was shut down. Just for those people, I think, can appreciate what it's like to be without that technology, without the electricity, those types of things, surviving without all that. But just imagine that's a nationwide event. How would you live? I mean, I think about it, and I'm not sure what I would do. I have some basic emergency supplies, but it's really more to the tune of a hurricane versus something that would be an extended time. And that's why it was so interesting when the lady in Cape Coral, living off the grid, she went out there and saw what it took for her to live off the grid. How could she survive without the utility companies, rainwater, and other sources of power? Very interesting to think about, and we all need to think about that. What would happen if a foreign interest, foreign enemy, came in and somehow shut down the grid? What would we do? And the sad part is, it probably could happen, you know, the reports are saying it could happen any day. You can't go and live in paranoia and fear of what's going to happen the next day. But at the same time, you seem to kind of need to be prepared that something could happen. How would you survive in that environment? I mean, just imagine what happens when the cell phones die. There's no battery, no way to recharge them. What would you do? Kind of scary stuff when you think about it. And that's why we have to think about those who come over that. Over, it's not strictly the southern border, but the southern border is so wide open, anybody can get across it. That's been proven time and time again. But that's not the only piece of the border that's porous. We have got to realize we have no security, and we have a president who doesn't want security because he wants to take down this country. And he can't do it by himself. He does it with two very negligent houses of Congress. The treasonous actions of those in public office today, it just amazes me. There's something so sick when the judicial system doesn't support taking them down the way it should. When the judicial system supports the likes of a Roberts, who goes and signs away our rights to Obamacare, to be free from Obamacare. The system's broken in so many ways. And what are we going to do about it? You know, it's easy to say we're going to change everything in the elections of 2014. But we have to think about what that really means. I'm saying demand representation, demand representatives represent Americans. I mean, we have these people, they're focused on the illegals. Why are they trying to represent the illegals? They care more about these illegals than they do Americans, and there's something sick about that. And Detroit, and the scariest part about all this is the elections have become so corrupt. And I'm telling you, the only way we shut down the corruption is to defund these political parties. I mean, sure, they get money from big business and the lobbyists, and we can't stop that because that's who they work for. They don't work for us. But by and large, they get it. If they don't get the money from Main Street America, then they're not gonna have enough money. We can put a hole in their budget. We can put a hole in their bank accounts by not funding any political party. Fund the candidates you believe in, regardless of their party. If the person's a Republican or a Democrat and you just really think they are the best thing, you know, and that's who you believe in, that's who you're going to vote for and you want to help them, then fine. Give money to their individual campaign. Do not give money to a political party. And when it comes to giving money to these other PACs, I personally don't give money to PACs. And I say that, well, I almost never give money to PACs. I have given money to very specific groups like Numbers USA and Fair Immigration. Some of these, there are some that I have given money to, but I don't give money to the more open, like was it Tea Party Express that goes out there and just goes out and funds whatever Republican they want. To me, the Tea Party Express is an extension of the GOP. That's what they've become. If they were a true Tea Party group and you happen to like how they're supporting true Tea Party candidates and Americans, constitutionalists, then that'd be a different story. But I see too much alignment between Tea Party Express and the GOP. But I tend to be very cautious of giving money to any of these groups. I will give it to those I truly believe in, such as Numbers USA and such as Fair Immigration and a few others. There's probably four or five. But I'm not there to go and make people get rich. Freedom Works, I like Freedom Works, and I think I gave to them once or twice. I'd have to look back and see on that one. But and in the beginning, they were aligning themselves too much with the Republicans, too. I think they have finally realized that's not the answer either. So I believe they're really going out more for the Matt Bevins, like what we need in Kentucky and that kind of thing. So I would give money to Matt Bevin, but I won't give it to the GOP. There's no way. And I almost wish Matt Bevin was running as a Libertarian. So he's running as a Libertarian, he'd be on the general ballot. I mean, there's all these numbers games people are out there playing, but I really think we have to realize the Libertarians, that you, if you do it right, you're getting support on both sides, because Democrats are sick of what the Democrats are doing, Republicans are sick of what the Republicans are doing. We need that true third party to emerge. I really don't want any party, but at this point, I would say, If you truly believe in America and you believe in the Constitution, run as a Libertarian and stay away from these other parties. And as I was saying earlier, we really need to go after Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Stephen King, Jeff Sessions, Steve Stockton. I hope I'm not saying his name wrong. Out of Texas, these people who truly, genuinely believe in the Constitution, believe in the rule of law, we need to get these people to abandon the GOP and go to the Libertarian Party or create an American Party, whichever way, but get away from the GOP. The GOP has been taken over by the liberal progressives, and we cannot be successful as true constitutionalists with the GOP. There is no place for a constitutionalist in the GOP. And Rand Paul needs to figure that out sooner than later because he keeps throwing his own father under the bus, trying to be part of the GOP establishment. And you'll end up losing your own candidacy next time. I believe he was, he's got two more years in the Senate before he's up for re-election. So, or to run for the presidency if that's what he decides to do. But you know what? You'd be much better off to be running as a libertarian. People are sick of the GOP. So you people who are true constitutionalists, you really need to think about what party you're aligned with. Now is the time to either leave the parties altogether, put yourself out there as a no-party affiliate, or go to that Libertarian Party. And, I mean, it's not easy to do, but there are ways in Florida that we could change this so it's not a closed ballot. It should not be closed primaries. Everybody should have the right to vote. If the Republican Party wants to go have their own party on their own time, in their own convention, wherever they may want to be, I don't care. They can go out there and rally behind their people that they want to put on the ballot. But when it comes time to that ballot, and this is true for the Democrats too, it's all the same for all of them, when it comes time to put in a candidate, whoever's on that ballot, I have the right to vote for. I should not be discriminated against to vote in the primary. And this is why, again, when we think, well, all we have to do to change everything is elect, but the election process is so corrupt. Trying to get those who genuinely want to change the clean up the corrupt elections we have. And to think that we're out there trying to tell the world how to have honest elections, what a joke. I mean, I know firsthand because I ran for public office myself, but right here in Orange County, Florida. So I know how corrupt the elections are. And what I saw was just the tip of the iceberg of what happens on nationwide law. So we've got to do more than just the vote. Because right now the game is rigged. We've got much more to do to change the game. And we have to demand that these representatives actually represent Americans. It is not their job, it is not their authority to go out there and represent illegals. That's not what they were elected for. To go and sacrifice the American people for the illegals is the biggest violation of their oath of office that there can be. That's all there is to it. And when it comes to this amnesty thing, amnesty and the Trans-Pacific Partnership, these are such anti-American events. Amnesty is the illegal invasion of this country, saying it's okay, come on in, steal our country, take over. We're going to leave the gates wide open, set up your bases, set up your, whatever it is, your invasion, the way you want to do it. And then on any given day, just take over the country. And we're stupid enough to let you do it. That's why we're trying to take away the guns from the Americans. Just, give us a little bit more time and the Americans will be disarmed. And then you can take it over without even trying. This is what these idiots in public office are doing to us. They're selling us out to the illegals. They're selling us out to the Muslim Brotherhood, to the Chinese nationals. Like I said, when it comes to the Latinos and La Raza, when it comes to the war, while they might think they're going to take back the Southwest, I don't fear the Latinos like I do the Chinese nationals and the Muslim Brotherhood. I really don't, even though we should be protecting ourselves against all enemies, all foreign invaders. These are foreign invaders. It was something on one of the shows. What show was it? Oh, I guess it was Huckabee. See, Huckabee is definitely GOP establishment. He is. But he also knows, he gets enough of the sense of what the people are thinking about that he knows he better to the issues. Otherwise, his role as the GOP puppet is going to go away too. Because if he was to go out there and talk the crap that the Republican Party is doing, just like Common Core stuff, he loses credibility and he loses his base. So he's being real careful. And he had the guy on who's over a part of the Border Patrol. I don't remember the guy's name, but he was on Huckabee this weekend. And we have a government. We're two houses of Congress. They won't talk to the people who protect the border. They don't want to know what the Border Patrol is saying. They don't care what they think because they're not protecting us. They are not representing us. They're representing their special interest and, of course, the stupid mentality that, well, we have to support Latinos more than Americans. Latinos come first. Americans are the trash. So we have to support the illegal Latinos so that we can get their votes. It's so stupid. I mean, if anything was to prove the Republican Party is stupid, that is it. There can be nothing more stupid than that. The stupid, anti-American, unconstitutional, treasonous traitors, take your pick. That's what these group of Republicans are. And a Democrat, no matter who it is, if you're going to go out there and surrender the rights of the American people, surrender the American sovereignty to these people, you're a treasonous traitor. That's all there is to it. Nothing else. So you really have to force these representatives to represent Americans first. What a concept. 2014, Americans first. Take care of the American people before we start giving aid to every place else but us, before we start surrendering our jobs to more illegal invaders. It's about the American people for a change. Do you get that, Boehner? Do you get that, GOP establishment? Do you get that, Democrat rats? Or Republo rats, or whatever they call you these days. Whatever they all are. The other is, the two things kind of go hand in hand, and I was stating, they have to represent us. And we have to remind these self-serving politicians, they were not elected to represent illegal invaders. That's not their job. Show me in their oath of office where the whole idea is to represent the illegal invaders. I don't see that out there. Where is it in the Constitution that you protect illegal invaders trying to destroy your country? Show me where that is. I don't see it. I haven't been able to find that in the Constitution. Where are you guys finding this? What state constitution and what federal constitution says, illegal invaders, welcome, come take over our state and our country? And I'll tell you, the past and a half, I have been faxing and calling and some emailing, but faxing and calling the GOP establishment that's out there surrendering once again to amnesty. Of course, while I'm hearing all this more talk, and trust me, I trust Jeff Sessions more than I trust Paul Ryan and some of these others out there, going out there saying, it's security first, secure the borders first, secure. We've already got that law in place, people. That's what you're supposed to do to begin with. So why are you talking about that? There is no discussion. When we finish securing the borders, then we'll figure out how we're going to manage those who are here. Very few will be allowed to stay. Most will be deported. Instead of doing the Gang of 8/10 S-74 amnesty crap that Rubio was part of, when are they going to get it? Which kind of leads me back to the next discussion here. What do we do? What do we do to solve this problem? Now, some of you may have heard of American Operation Spring. What do we do to take back America? Is American Operation Spring the answer? And I've heard some who say, some say yes and some say no. And I'm going to read a little bit on some of the notes about what it is, because I've heard two sides of it. There are some that's a retired colonel who seems to be heading this up and coming up with a basic plan. And we'll go and look at the information when I read some of the details about it. This is going to happen in mid-May. It's like May 16th. This is a massive march on D.C. It's totally unarmed. It's just a massive march on D.C. to force out certain people out of office, like Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, John Boehner. These people who have violated every kind of oath of office, violated their fiduciary duties to us, who do not belong in public office. The whole idea is to force them out of office. And, again, that's a very high level of what it's doing. I'll go to a couple of the articles and we'll read some of the information on it. But the question is this the right answer? Is this the way we do it? A massive march on our capital, take back our capital kind of thing. And some say no because they say this is what the White House occupier, Dictator Obama, wants. Because Dictator Obama, if that would happen, would declare martial law and send out the military to kill its own people. And in the past, I would have never said the American military would turn on the American people. But because we have such an invasion of the Muslim Brotherhood into this military, I really don't know anymore. I know the majority of Americans in the service truly believe in this country. But I also know the Fort Hood situation. I know this Muslim Brotherhood nonsense that the dictator in the White House is doing. And it concerns me. Little by little, I see a military and a police force that's turning on its own people. Where in the past, I would have never thought that could have happened. But now, today, I fear it could happen. So, this march on Washington, American Operation Spring, that's going to be coming up in here in May, the question is, is that the best solution? Is that the way we should approach it? And I don't know. Again, I'm going to go to the page, just got some information on it, and we'll go over some of what it is to make it, for those who aren't familiar with it, try to go over some of it, phase one, phase two kind of thing, what they're trying to do. But we have to be realistic of what this dictator would do. Dictator Obama, I wouldn't think twice to go out there and say, well, martial law, we're going to take over, emergency, and go arrest all these American people, put them in those FEMA camps all over the place, because they're the ones trying to destroy the country. When, in fact, all we're trying to do is take back our government. So I don't really know. At the same time, I think on the other side of it, it's like, well, a few years back, we had this thing called a revolution. Did King George say it was okay? What did King George think at the time? And did King George think that he was going to win? So is this another King George revolution coming up? I don't know. But at some point, we have to stand up and be counted as Americans. We can't just sit on the sidelines while they continue to mow us over. And you can't depend on that ballot box. That's the sad part. If the ballot box wasn't so corrupt, that truly would be the answer. But we do have so much corruption. The Karl Roves out there, they're not helping us. Whose side are they on? They're on the GOP establishment side, just like Hillary is on the liberal progressive communist side. One world order. Everything to do with the Bush family is one world order and communism. And they even talk about John Ellis Bush. If you say Jeb Bush, you're saying John Ellis Bush. John Ellis Bush, he's a communist. That's why he believes in Common Core. You just see what's happening. And it was George W. Bush who passed the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, a.k.a. North American Union, a.k.a. no borders between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. Communist. Call them what they are. George H.W. Bush is the one who signed us on to Agenda 21, and he said a new world order. We are coming upon a new world order. You can go out there and find the YouTube and listen to it yourself. Because they believe in communism. And they play the system to get there. Not because they believed in Republican values. That was just the game they had to play to get there. So if not that, what other option? The other option we hear a lot about these days is the Constitutional Convention of the States. And this is Mark Levin. And his interpretation of the Constitution, which, excuse me, sorry about that, trying not to cough in your ear. The Constitutional Convention, which the Constitution gives us the right to, however, the risk there, when you're sending people from the states to have a Constitutional Convention to require a budget, a balanced budget amendment, or the term limits, and the stuff with the amnesty, whatever, you know, these kind of things, things that they could change, you got to be very careful about who would go to the Constitution, the convention representing your state. You get a communist going to the Constitutional Convention, what could happen? They may take down the Second Amendment. So you got to be careful on that one, too. So it's very tricky to know what we should do to take back this country. How do we take back America? So much of it, which is what Ron Paul has said over the years, so much of it is education. And you can't talk public education. You have to homeschool your children. And in this current situation, you need to sort of homeschool your neighbors and friends who don't know what's going on either to read the Constitution and see what's happening to their rights. The rights are being taken away left and right by non-elected people, by a corrupt government in every which way. The EPA and the Department of Education, these are two quasi-governmental agencies who assume rights to make laws when they were never elected to do such a thing. It's not their job to do that. Which the Department of Education at the federal level should be totally gone. It should be a state thing. It shouldn't even be at the federal level. The EPA... If the EPA wanted to make recommendations or studies, findings available to the two houses of Congress and they would act on them, that would be one thing, but not the way it is today. And then, of course, we have health care. It's not the place of a private agency to dictate to the people. This government has become communist in so many ways. Communism has arrived to the United States of America. And people have to understand that. So on that note, let's go see if I can find Operation America. And then we're going to go over this. I should say Operation America Spring. There's two different sites out there. There's the one site that is OperationAmericanSpring.org, and they're updating it, but there's a lot of information on what's called Patriots for America. So go to PatriotsForAmerica.com or do a search on Operation American Spring, and it'll bring you to it. And you will see the information that goes into Operation American Spring to patriots, black, white, red, yellow, brown, male, female, civilian, military, truckers, bikers, militias, veterans, old, young, every American that loves freedom and liberty. Mission: restoration of constitutional government, rule of law, freedom, liberty. Of the people, for the people, by the people. And the tyrannical federal leadership. from despotic and tyrannical federal leadership. Assumptions. Millions of Americans will participate. Millions. They're wanting millions of Americans to participate. So this is the assumptions. Millions of Americans will participate. American veterans and patriots are energized to the end to end by tyranny, lawlessness, and shredding of the U.S. Constitution. American veterans and patriots are energized to end the tyranny, lawlessness, and shredding of the U.S. Constitution. That's an assumption. Assumption, government is not the target. It is sound. Corrupt and criminal leadership must be removed. So the whole point is to take back our government. Those in power will not hesitate to use force against unarmed, peaceful patriots exercising their constitutional rights. And that's an assumption. The assumption those in power will not hesitate to use force against unarmed, peaceful patriots exercising their constitutional rights. Patriots may be killed, wounded, or incarcerated. The assumption is there is no hope given today's technology of secrecy for the effort, nor do we want it secret. So it's not like we're trying to sabotage anyone. We're making what is being put out there. Everybody's being told about it. This isn't anything like that. It's strictly exercising your constitutional rights against a tyrannical government. Those who have become tyrannical in their roles. So let's go over that quickly again. The assumptions. Assumption, millions of Americans will participate. Assumption, American veterans and patriots are energized to end tyranny, lawlessness, and shredding of the U.S. Constitution. Assumption, government is not the target. It is sound. Corrupt and criminal leadership must be removed. Assumption, those in power will not hesitate to use force against unarmed, peaceful patriots exercising their constitutional rights. Assumption, patriots may be killed, wounded, or incarcerated. Assumption, there is no hope given today's technology of secrecy. There is no hope given today's technology of secrecy for the effort, nor do we want it secret. A concept of operation, phase one. And if you go to this page, you'll see the blueprint. And this is patriotsforamerica.ning.com. And it's called the blueprint. You can click on it. The phase one, field millions, as many as 10 million patriots who will assemble in a peaceful, nonviolent, physically unarmed, spiritually and constitutionally armed display of unswerving loyalty to the U.S. Constitution and against the incumbent government leadership in Washington, D.C., with a mission to bring down the existing leadership. Go full bore, go no looking back, steadfast in the mission. See, this is all about taking down the leadership in Washington, D.C., going back and taking back our government. So let's read that one more time. Phase one, field millions, as many as 10 million patriots who will assemble in a peaceful, nonviolent, physically unarmed, spiritually and constitutionally armed, display of unswerving loyalty to the United States Constitution and against the incumbent government leadership in Washington, D.C., with a mission to bring down the existing leadership. Go full bore, no looking back, steadfast in the mission. Phase two. 1 million or more of the assembled 10 million must be prepared to stay in D.C. as long as it takes to see Obama, Biden, Reid, McConnell, Boehner, Pelosi, and Attorney General Holder removed from office. A senior Republican in the House of Representatives will become the Speaker of the House. and Speaker of the House and the U.S. House of Representatives will elect a temporary president and vice president of the United States. The U.S. Senate will take action to elect a new majority and minority leader. As required in the U.S. Congress, the U.S. Congress will execute appropriate legislation to convene new elections, or U.S. states will appoint replacements for positions vacated consistent with established constitutional requirements. Excuse me. We'll read phase two one more time here. 1 million or more of the assembled 10 million must be prepared to stay in D.C. as long as it takes to see Obama, Biden, Reid, McConnell, Boehner, Pelosi, and Attorney General Holder removed from office. The senior Republican in the House of Representatives will become Speaker of the House, and the U.S. House of Representatives will elect a temporary President and Vice President of the United States. The U.S. Senate will take actions to elect a new majority and minority leader. As required, the U.S. Congress will execute appropriate legislation to convene new elections, or U.S. states will appoint replacements for positions vacated consistent with established constitutional requirements. Phase three. Those with the principles of a West, Cruz, Dr. Ben Carson, Lee, DeMint, Paul, Governor Walker, Sessions, Dowdy, Jordan will comprise a tribunal and assemble positions and assume positions of authority to convene investigations, recommend appropriate charges against politicians and government employees to the new U.S. Attorney General appointed by the new president. Think of that. I mean, those were the principles of a West, Cruz, Dr. Ben Carson, Lee, DeMint, Paul, Governor Walker, Sessions, Dowdy, Jordan will comprise a tribunal and assume positions of authority to convene investigations, recommend appropriate charges against politicians and government employees to the new U.S. Attorney General appointed by the new president. Actions in phase two and three will be consistent with the U.S. Constitution. Date of operation. Operation American Spring, beginning of tyranny house cleaning, May 16, 2014, completion to be determined. Let's see here. We are past the point of no return, thus must move forward with an effort to save our nation, as there is no other choice. We are asking, pleading with you and others that have resources, National Voices, email lists, blogs, Facebook, Twitter, to call for a nonviolent American Spring, May 16, 2014, in Washington, D.C. We must appeal to 10 million and more American patriots to come and stay in Washington, D.C. to stop the White House and the Congress from total destruction of the United States of America. It's now or never. God help us. The law of nature rules. A fluffy, cuddly lamb gets eaten by a mean old wolf is not an illegal or immoral event. It's the law of nature. When some greedy, self-serving occupant of the White House or Congress or elements outside America is threatening our existence, our freedom, our liberty, our Constitution, our life resources, our America, then we fight back to destroy the threat, and there is nothing immoral or illegal about it. When the government becomes lawless, trust me, that's what it is, lawless. When the government becomes lawless, then we the people are no longer obligated to follow the government. There is no law when government picks and chooses for political purposes or personal agenda. At this time, the government is performing as a lawless entity. A duck cannot be turned into a fox. An elephant cannot be turned into a flea. the laws of nature will not permit. Likewise, a nation ordained and principled by the laws of nature, sovereign, free, with liberty for all, cannot naturally become a nation of nation guided by royalty, decrees, tyranny, elitist, self-serving criminals. The former has proven desirable, the latter has proven human pain. We can become a nation guided by royalty if we, the people, be guilded by the government and surrender to our lust for that which we have not earned, for what is not natural. If we have become intoxicated by unbroken success, as Lincoln proclaimed in March 30th, 1863. Call for fasting, humanitarian, and prayer, we can very easily heap to ourselves, leaders, and, with itching ears, be turned from the truth to become enslaved by the lie. The United States of America, elephant, while embracing the lie, is teetering on the abyss of becoming a sniveling, blood-sucking, undesirable nation, a flea. Operation American Spring will be a gigantic step in removing the flea infestation that is sucking the blood out of America. I'm going to read this one part again because I find it really interesting. Likewise, a nation ordained and principled by the laws of nature, sovereign, free, with liberty for all, cannot naturally become a nation guided by royalty, decrees, tyranny, elitist, self-serving criminals. The former has proven desirable, the latter has proven human pain. We can become a nation guided by royalty if we, the people, be guilded by the government in surrender to our lust for that which we have not earned, for what is not natural. If we have become intoxicated by unbroken success, as Lincoln proclaimed in March 30th, 1863, call for fasting, humiliation, and prayer, we can very easily heap to ourselves leaders and, with itching ears, be turned from the truth to become enslaved by the lie. The United States of America, while embracing the lie, is teetering on the abyss of becoming a sniveling, blood-sucking, undesirable nation. Flee. Operation American Spring will be a gigantic step in removing the flea infestation that is sucking the blood out of America. And just as a reminder, I am reading all of this off Patriots for America, and this is called the Operation American Spring, OAS, Operation American Spring. And you can come here and read the same thing and share it with others. Okay. Get back down here while I was at. Okay, let's see, we're almost finished here, I think. We see no reasonable, hopeful sign that indicates there are honorable, loyal, mature, critical thinking, experienced people in government that understands the chaos about to rain down on America, about to rain down on America. Nor do they care. Our only hope is that we, the people, call, organize, and draw a few million patriots to stay in D.C. for an American Spring. It would be the catalyst to draw the line and bring to conclusion a decision on an out-of-control government one way or another. America will rise up or surrender. For me, I can only go to my knees in the presence of God Almighty. My knees will not touch the surface as a result of some pissant, some pissant occupant of the White House, or a corrupt legislator, or an outside element. I will fall to my death standing if necessary. That kind of sounds like that live free or die kind of thing. There's several links in the article to read some additional information. There is not much time, and the only planning necessary is to select a starting date, which we have done, and then show up in Washington, D.C. on that date and plan to stay for the duration. The goal is restoring the United States U.S. Constitution as the law of the land, removing the lawless leadership. Will it be a cakewalk? No. No, it will be painful, and some people may die because the government will not be nonviolent. Some of us will end up in a cell, and some may be injured. If that is what it will take to save our nation, do we have any choice? And I think that's a really big question there. If that is what it takes, well, if that is, let me try reading this again, hold on a second. If that's what it will take to save our nation, do we have any choice? Freedom-loving Americans will say there is no choice. We must begin the second American Revolution, not with guns, but with millions of Americans demanding a return to constitutional government and the resignation of Obama, Biden, Reid, McConnell, Boehner, Pelosi, and Holder as a start. Then the constitutional restitution process can begin. An American spring can be avoided only if the above-mentioned officials resign. Will our national patriot leaders step forward and declare, send me, I'll lead? Will our national patriot leaders step forward and declare, send me, I'll lead? There are millions of veterans and patriots ready to follow and have said, I will go. I urge all organizations, groups, particularly veterans and military retirees, begin planning to visit Washington, D.C. beginning May 16th. Keep tuned to the constitutional emergency. Excuse me. I urge all organizations, groups, particularly veterans and military retirees, begin planning to visit Washington, D.C., beginning May 16, 2014. Keep tuned to American Emergency Patriots for America, and that's this page, patriotsforamerica.ing.com, for updates and guidance. Okay. Please bathe this effort in prayer. And there is no personal agenda to gain, save liberty. To gain, save liberty, freedom, and restoration of constitutional government for we the people. And this is Harry Riley, Colonel, U.S. retired, U.S. Army, retired. And you'll see there's a couple of videos on this site. And fear not for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. And I tell you, the risk of a constitutional convention, I do believe there's definitely a risk all the wrong people would be there changing the Constitution. So the tendency to want to try to handle the Constitution that way, I don't know is good. I don't know that this is the right answer either. But if done peacefully, if, as it says, unarmed, Americans are unarmed, 10 million unarmed Americans on Capitol Hill, with those a million or so, whatever, who stay there to force the issue, to force these people out of office. We're not talking about forcing everybody out of office. We're forcing the leadership out of office. I don't know that it's the wrong thing to do. We've talked many times on this show about taking over Washington, D.C., and I believe that may be what we have to do. But there's definitely the risk. Like I said, there's a risk. We have a dictator in that White House and two negligent houses of Congress that refuse to do anything about it. And so they may go out there and declare martial law and declare the war on us. I don't know. But we have a right to take back this government when it is so lawless. And it really is lawless. And there's some other shots in here. The face of prayer has changed. The need for prayer has not. Operation American Spring. There's another article on it on a site called truthandaction.org. Truthandaction.org. Operation American Spring. Retired Colonel creates March on Washington, May 16, 2014. And then it goes in, it's more of an article talking about it. Harry Riley, Colonel retired, is calling upon millions of patriots to march upon Washington, D.C. to remove Obama, Biden, Reid, McConnell, Boehner, Pelosi, and Attorney General Holder from office. Excuse me. He has termed it Operation American Spring, beginning of tyranny, house cleaning. And it's due to commence May 16, 2014. Then it goes into the three phases. And further down, it's politicians with the principles of West, Cruz, Dr. Ben Carson, again, that's what we read earlier, to comprise a tribunal and convene investigators and recommend appropriate actions against politicians and government employees who have violated the Constitution. That means, I guess, the IRS goes away. Haven't most of the people of the IRS violated the Constitution? Government employees, who knows, I don't know. But definitely we know there's a problem with that department and also the Federal Reserve. Let's see, the Federal Reserve is technically a private entity, so it's a little bit different situation. And it's God bless Colonel Riley and all the patriots in his historic effort to restore our country. One can easily see why this administration fears and loathes veterans. It's patriots like Colonel Riley that can undo their tyrannical agenda. Happy New Year, everyone, and make 2014 the year we take back our country. And then the thing that I just read from the other side is here in full print with the different links and stuff like that, so you can check it out. So give it some thought. We definitely need to have a march on Washington, D.C., and I'm right now myself, I'm planning on going to it. I'm working to see the details that I can do it. I think I should be able to. And I still think it's the right thing. I mean, I understand what some people are saying. And if the military, if today, if the American military will turn against the American people, then I think it's probably already over anyway. So this is that point. Live free or die. We have no choice. We have to do something to stand up for this country. And this is a nonviolent. This is an unarmed invasion. So if anybody dies, that will be because the American government killed the American people. It won't be because the American people did anything to this government. And we're not trying to do anything to the government. We're trying to remove the tyrannical leadership that's in office today that's destroying this country. And I'm telling you, if we don't take these people down and get them out of office, and if the ballot box wasn't so corrupt, we might have a chance to do it at the ballot box, but the ballot box is too corrupt. We know that. Deep down, many of us know we wouldn't have the same president in there if the ballot box wasn't corrupt. I don't believe he was reelected, honestly, and I don't believe he should have ever been elected to begin with because we had a Congress that would not challenge the legitimacy of his candidacy. Yes, he had the right to be a senator, but no, he didn't have the right to be a president. So, something to think about. Okay, we're running out of time here. I got one other thing real quick. This is How the GOP Lost Middle Class America. I'll see if I can get this read in the next couple minutes here. Out of the Republican retreat on Maryland's eastern shore comes words from House leadership that is raising the white flag of surrender on immigration. The GOP will agree to halt the deportation of 12 million illegal aliens and sign on to a blanket amnesty. It only asks that the 12 million not be put on a path to citizenship. That is so stupid to even suggest that. Giving them legal status and then discriminating against them as a citizen is so stupid. That's another piece of garbage. But anyway, get back to this. Sorry, but losers will not dictate terms. Of the AFL-CIO says amnesty is no longer enough. Illegal aliens must be put on a path to citizenship and given green cards to work and join unions. See, this is all about joining unions. Their power base is falling apart. They can't get people to join the unions. They're in trouble. Representative Paul Ryan and the Wall Street Journal are for throwing in the towel, legalize them all, and start them on a path to citizenship. A full and final capitulation that gets it over with. I think we did that in 1986, didn't we? To understand why and how the Republican Party lost Middle America and to face demographic death, we need to go back to Bush 1. At the Cold War's end, the GOP reached a fork in the road. The determination of Middle Americans to preserve the country they grew up in, suddenly collided with the profit motives of corporate America. Fortune 500 wanted to close factories in the USA and ship production abroad, where unions did not exist, regulations were light, taxes were low, and wages were a fraction of what they were here in America. Corporate America was going global and wanted to be rid of the American workforce, the best paid on earth, and replace it with cheap foreign labor. While manufacturing sought to move production abroad, hotels, motels, bars, restaurants, farms, and construction companies that could not move abroad also wanted to replace their expensive American workers. Thanks to the Republican Party, corporate America got it all. U.S. factories in the scores of thousands were shut down, shedding their American workers, foreign-made goods poured in, filling U.S. stores, and killing the manufacturing that had stayed behind, and killing manufacturers who stayed behind, loyal to the U.S. workers. The Reagan prosperity was exported to Asia and China by the Bush Republicans. Like I told you, the Bush are communist. Accept that fact. Say it out loud. The Bush family is communist. Okay, back to this. And the Reagan Democrats reciprocated by deserting the Bush Republican Party and going home. But this was not the end of what this writer described in his 1998 book, The Greatest Betrayal. As those hotels, motels, restaurants, bars, fast food shops, car washes, groceries, and other service industries also relished the rewards of cheap foreign labor, they got government assistance in replacing their American workers. Since 1990, some 30 to 40 million immigrants, legal and illegal, have entered the country. This huge increase in the labor force, at the same time the U.S. was shipping factories abroad, brought massive downward pressure on wages. The real wages of middle Americans have stagnated for decades. What was wildly wonderful for corporate America was hell on middle America, but the Republican parties had made its choice. It had sold its soul to the multinationals, and as it went along with NAFTA, GATT, fast track, and mass immigration to appease corporate America, it lost middle America. The party went with the folks who paid for their campaigns, only to lose the folks who had given them their landslides. When Republicans acceded to the demand for amnesty and immigration without end, it does not take a political genius to see what is going to happen, for it is happening now. Almost all of those breaking our laws, crossing the borders, and overstaying their visas are young, poor, or working class. Between 80 and 90% are from Asia, Africa, Middle East, and Latin America. They are third world people. They believe in government action and government programs that provide their families with free education, health care, housing, food, and income subsidies. They are not Bob Taft, Barry Goldwater conservatives. excuse me, perhaps 85% of all immigrants, legal and illegal, more than a million a year now, are people of color. And while over 70% of Hispanics and Asians voted Democrat for Obama, among voters of African descent, the Obama vote was well above 90%. Four of every U.S. citizens of Asia, African, and Hispanic descent vote Democrat in presidential elections. And it's their numbers that are growing. Already they are over one-third of the U.S. population. As has been observed often, America demographically is going to look a lot like California. And while Nixon won California all five times, he was on a national ticket. And Reagan won California in landslides all four times he ran. California has not gone Republican in six straight presidential elections. Democrats outnumber Republicans there by more than 2-1 in the congressional delegation and in the state assembly, and not a single Republican holds statewide office. If Bush had built the border fence back in 92 and declared a moratorium on legal immigration at that fall, as many implored him to do, the party of the Bushes would not be facing its demise before the mid-century. This is Patrick J. Buchanan, the author of Suicide of a Superpower, Will America Survive 2025? Anyway, take a look at that article. We are down to the last minute. Please be involved. Please be informed. Tune in tomorrow night and Thursday. You've got to understand what's happening to our country in order to make the right decision. You're not going to get it from lamestream media. You've got to go to the other sources. You've got to talk to other Americans who actually believe in this country. And united we will stand. Divided we do not have a chance. Please be informed. Please. 2014, vote for Americans. Let it be Americans first for a change instead of all the illegals and the globalist nationals and all this other corporate America routine. Let's focus on Americans. We save Americans, we can save America. And on that note, good night, and dear Lord, please, God bless America. We need all the help we can get. We will seek the truth. We will face the truth. And we will do what we can to save our country. Good night.